Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Access. We are live.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back. Alexa's back.
Alexa's woo, here. Back. Back in New York.
She's here. She's in New York. She's
back for
the
time being.
Yeah, for the time being, exactly. We don't know how long she'll be here. She might disappear mid-podcast because she has to get on a plane to fly somewhere. But you know what? Let's hope that doesn't happen tonight.
I was actually here last Wednesday, but as Phil knows, I played hooky because I was very ill. It turns out going to 4 baseball games over the course of 7 days is not good for your immune system.
There you go. See, I didn't know if you wanted to rat yourself out for that or not, because no. I know the real truth. Alexa was out partying, because going to these baseball games, all she was doing is drinking and eating hot dogs, and then she gets
which
away from that.
The dream. I saw your description on the podcast with Vaughn. It's true. I ate 4 hot dogs at a game, and I was disgusted with myself, but it was
you
for work.
4 hot dogs. Did work pay for those hot dogs? That's the most important question.
Some of my coworkers listen to this podcast, so I would like to prefer to not disclose my financial decisions while on the clock, but Yes, I ate 4 hot dogs at a game because I was at Yankee Stadium for about 15 hours. So
yes, gotta love that. I like that you ate 4 hot dogs over the course of 15 hours, and yes. you should enter the Nathan's contest on July 4th.
But this podcast is brought to you by Nathan's. Go ahead.
This podcast is brought to you by Nathan's. Yeah, we had to slip that in as subtly as we could. We are now sponsored by Nathan's, except we're not. But anyway, most importantly, she's back to talk about Survivor. Hopefully she's actually watched the last 2 episodes. I don't know. I mean, I haven't really talked to her about it. I was too busy talking to intern. Talking to Vaughn, talking to Bradley, 3.
I know, you've moved on. You're over me.
I am. But I'm still playing the field here because I got to figure out who I want to replace you.
So yeah. I watched episode 2 the day after it aired. So I watched that on Thursday. It's tough. You got to log out of Twitter. I can't open Reddit. I have to go full cleanse, which actually was quite nice. And I didn't watch episode 3 until yesterday, actually. So I was a little delayed on that one, but I mean, I texted Phil. I'm loving the season so far, and talk to me in a month and I could hate it. We're only 3 episodes in, but it's been really fun. These characters are really good, and there is a lot of – actually, no, there isn't a lot of strategy talk. The strategy so far has been fairly straightforward, and the Jeremy boot, I know you and Robert had already talked about this ad nauseum, but I thought that was a fun vote. I thought that was super different, and it was so easy – for Natalie to go home. And I think the amount of content and the type of content that Jeremy was getting, he was either going to make it to the finals or immediately get voted out that night. And he was a good character. He was a lot of fun. Natalie, she's great TV, and I'm really excited to see what happens with her because her story is nowhere near done. And I don't think she's in a better position than she was before this vote, but she's got another chance. And now the board is getting completely reset with this swap.
Yeah, and I have Natalie super high in my power rankings this week. Not like really? 1 or 2, but I have her pretty high. Yeah, because I think with a swap coming up, she is so unthreatening to everybody. And if she catches wind that the Goliaths want to get rid of her, she'll just go inside with the Davids. And if the Goliaths really think that she's Goliath strong, like she said, then she'll stick with them. She's going to be weaker, but there's going to be somebody who needs her as a number with this swap coming up, which is not the case for some of these other players. Yeah, Natalie's story is a long way from being done. Also, stop saying Robert. I don't know who that is. I don't believe that that's a real person.
What's a Robert? Oh,
I don't know. You keep saying Robert. Oh, who is Robert? I don't know who this is.
I don't know. I was trying to be polite because he got a little bit of hate mail, people. I remember when I joined this podcast, I was crying to Phil every night because you people were being mean to me. And then I realized only a little bit of it was personal, but a lot of it was because you guys don't like change. And Robert is change, and Robert was great. Excuse me, intern. Low life. So I think he did a great job, but he did get some hate mail. But Phil and I get hate mail all the time. But we also get people who think we're pretty, so it's nice.
Yeah, the hate mail is what keeps me going because the hate mail makes me laugh because that means you're still watching, you're still listening,
you gave us a view, and you clearly are subscribed to us.
I am ruining part of your life, and you hate me. Anyway,
brought to you by the specialist. Thumbs up.
Yeah. Exactly. Brought to you by hate. Speaking of hate, we got to actually talk about these power rankings. But Alexa, now that you watched last week's episode, you watched the episode before, we haven't really heard your thoughts on that. But I think it's funny because every season you've done so far has been kind of bad. And now we finally get a good season and you're not a part of it. Are you finding yourself more excited to talk about it and a little frustrated that you haven't been able to talk about it?
I was, especially after... So I was watching when you and Vaughn were doing the episode 2 recap. And now I know what it's like to be Will because I'm sitting there and I'm like, Phil, that's not what I said. And you guys are teaming up on me and I can't defend myself. So I know how Will's felt for the past year. And let me tell you, I don't like it. Honestly, the only thing that stuck out to me, and honestly, this is me being petty, but when you guys said, how dare I put Lyrsa so high up in my power rankings because she was one of the people who's going to go home. The reason I put her high up is because she had a buddy. She had Elizabeth. And the reason that she stayed is because Elizabeth hooked it up. So that was my main commentary. But Elizabeth was amazing that episode. I think she really shined that episode. I think Angelina really shined in this episode. I can hear you saying this is Angelina is just running towards being the merge boot. We're getting absolutely. She is full steam ahead on her own train heading towards the merge boot.
Yeah.
But she's good. And I think I think her sitting out of the challenge, and you see that she gets it, and she says, she's like, oh crap, I see it. But she isn't the one to speak up and say, I should have been out there. Luckily, she had Natalia to speak her mind instead. So
yeah.
I think Angelina was fantastic last episode. She has been, I don't want to say a great surprise because I knew she was going to be fun, but I'm really, really liking her.
Yeah. And so this week we have the swap coming up, which we'll find out who is actually right, Natalia or Angelina, because that was one of the main reasons why they were split on this vote and then ended up being 9-1. So it wasn't split, but they were talking about it pretty heated against each other. So we'll see who ends up being right. We don't know the tribes. I'm sure that there's something out there, but I haven't seen anything about it. I haven't seen an official posting yet. I haven't gotten word. So I'm doing this completely pretty much based off of edit. Based off of idols, based off of who I think can go the distance and who I'd be really surprised to see go home this early. So that's what this entire thing is for me.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. It's going to be tough. I don't know what's going to end up happening to the odd person out. There's 17 people. It almost looks like they're doing...
Oh, I didn't think about that.
It almost looks like they're doing three tribes. I'm trying to figure out if B is going to get medevaced because they kept showing her knee. So, I do have B in spot 17 because I just don't know what to do with her. So my whole concern is if she does get medevaced, who's going to be the other person who goes home? I don't think she's getting medevaced though. Who's going to get medevaced for tearing an ACL? People play Survivor all the time with torn ligaments. Like that's
Troyzan had a torn ACL in Game Changers.
Yeah, a lot of people can play Survivor with a torn ligament. It's not a life-threatening thing. So unless B wants to be pulled from the game, I don't see her actually being pulled from the game. She's definitely there in the preview when they're talking about being on – when Jeff is breaking down the challenge there. The challenge. Why can't I think of the word? When Jeff's talking about it anyway, she's there. So maybe what they could do is if they split into three tribes, it would be 5-5-6, which would mean that the six-person tribe is the one that has – to start from scratch, and then somebody goes to Exile Island, or it's going to be two tribes of eight with a person going to Exile Island. That's what I'm guessing. So
I don't think she's getting medically evacuated. I mean, they've done that before. After a challenge, Jeff will be like, hey, by the way, we're going to go check out your thumb or your knee or whatever. And like you said, I mean, this girl's a competitor. She has been getting the content that they're giving her, I'm liking. They're not just like turning her off and letting her be silent because she does have a lot of personality, and she, I don't know. I think there's still a lot to get out of her, and I think her getting medically evacuated would just kind of stunt it a little bit.
I agree.
I think she'll be okay. In terms of relationships, I'm not really sure, but let's get to that. Let's get to the power rankings and we'll talk about
that. Yeah, let's do that first. Let's drop the MVP and LVP because MVP was Angelina, which was not shocking. LVP was B. And since we're talking about B, what I want to know from all of the viewers who voted for B to be LVP, why? What did she do wrong? Tell me what she did wrong. And this is what I think, was it you and me or was it me and Vaughn? I forget who I said it to, but I said, you know, when it was Will and I, we used to not even like count the votes at the time because, you know, if we knew it was somebody, this is one where it's completely wrong. Like, it's just wrong. So I don't know why people are voting for her. Is it because she hurt her knee? So because she hurt her knee, she's automatically LVP. Absolutely no sense. She was not LVP. We didn't even discuss her as being an LVP last week. She competed with Alec in that entire challenge. She was neck and neck with him, even after hurting her knee. She was right there. She had a lot of confessional time. It looked like she was going around trying to start up relationships, realizing she was on the bottom, trying to make something happen. It's not an LVP performance. I mean, it's just,
this is one I would absolutely override. I didn't get that far with you and, intern, who did you guys throw out for LVP?
It was tough because LVP was just hard in general. There really wasn't a bad person this episode, but we had talked about how it could have been Natalia, I believe, because she was pretty adamant against what was going on here. Mm-hmm. I feel like we talked about how Elizabeth and Lyrso really weren't present at all, so they couldn't be LVP, but they really weren't there. Natalie, I didn't think could be LVP. See, this was the problem. The two biggest vote getters were B and Natalie. And, like, Natalie didn't do anything wrong. She convinced everybody to keep her around. It's the Joe Mena strategy.
I don't think Natalie convinced anybody. I think Angelina did all
but,
that.
But still.
I'm not saying Natalie's the LVP, but I don't think she convinced anybody.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's the Joe Mena mentality. It's the Joe Mena style of gameplay. All you have to do is make sure that whatever you're doing keeps you in the game. And Natalie could have gone home. By Natalie being Natalie, she stayed around. And if she would have turned it off and tried to play nice with everybody, she probably goes home. But because she made it so apparent that she's not a threat, she gets to hang around. And this is a person who, if Natalie somehow finds herself in the final three, I would be very inclined to vote for her, because how the hell did she get the final three when she should have gone home on day one?
See, I think, crazily enough, I need to credit Angela with having, I think Natalie needs to thank Angelina more than she needs to thank herself. I think Natalie didn't do anything. I think Natalie stayed the exact same. And Angelina was the one who was like, guys, let's keep her.
She also bothered Jeremy like crazy. That's for sure. She definitely got under Jeremy's skin, and she did that hard. I mean, that
I'm
whole
sad
scene,
he's gone, because he was really good.
He was really good TV. And now he's saying that he only got voted out because Angelina wants to save her marriage. What the hell?
Okay, so I haven't heard any exit press, but I did hear about this. What's the deal?
I have no idea. He just claims that she was like hanging out with Johnny Mundo, and she was in a showmance with Johnny Mundo, and she wanted to keep her marriage or relationship going. And Jeremy made a joke around the campfire about it, and then that was the reason. I don't know if it's true or not. I have no idea. But
Johnny Mundo also has a wife. So just
saying. Johnny Mundo's also the man.
He is amazing.
Johnny Mundo's also my number one in the power ring.
So kind of like how we refuse to call intern anything other than intern. My mom, I think she knows his name is John. She only calls him the wrestler or the George Bushy of Tushy. Nothing else. Those are his only names.
My parents both call him the wrestler guy.
Yeah. The wrestler man. He's great.
It's like the wrestler guy. Yeah, I like the wrestler guy too. I like him. I like the wrestler. Yeah.
I like
it's
that
so
one.
Funny. Yeah, it's so funny. It's like his name is not, it's not like he has a weird name. It's just John. He has John.
It's the simplest name.
But the George Bushy of Tushy, the G-Bot, that's who I got at my number one spot, just so you know. G-Bot in the number one spot. Third straight week. Every week we've done power rankings, I've had Johnny Mundo at number one. I think that no matter what happens on a swap, he's the strongest guy on that tribe. You don't want to get rid of that when these tribes are small. If it's going to be a three tribes, you're looking at 5, 5, and 6. If it's going to be two tribes, you're looking at 8 and 8. And you don't want to vote off your strongest person. If you're going to be getting somebody in from Exile Island or something, you want to vote off your strongest person yet. I think Johnny Mundo is going to end up making the merge, and he'll probably be an early merge boot. Also, the way he's been edited right now, if he wasn't Johnny Mundo, I'd be sitting here saying, is he getting a winner's edit? But I feel like Johnny Mundo can't win Survivor, right?
I think he could. I don't know. They seem to have no problem with him, and they seem to have no problem with Mike being, I guess, more publicly successful than everybody else. But I think he's playing a fantastic game. I think he absolutely could win this game. I don't think they give a crap that he's a wrestler. I think they like think it's interesting. And people who haven't even met him are talking about him. Like Christian and Gabby want to meet him. I want to meet him. I want to hang out with him. So I think he could very easily win this game. I think people are not looking at him like I think they will look at him like he's a threat soon. But right now, he's very docile. He's very calm. And he just seems – he gets along with Angelina, who would have guessed that one coming into this preseason. So I think he's fantastic. I think he absolutely could win this game.
Yeah, and I think it's a foreshadow to show Christian and Gabby talking about Johnny Mundo, because that means that they have to at some point play with him. Otherwise, why did we just watch that?
Yeah, well, they need to go to Slamtown.
Mm. They need to go to Slamtown. Whoa.
I know. I was listening to that conversation, I was watching it, and I was like, what are we talking about here? And then I went together.
Slamtonians. Alexa, who do you have at number one? Your first person. Also, let's just update on the power rankings in case you weren't watching last week. You had a terrible first week. Neither one of us did that good. It was 12-8. But you want to talk about somebody having a bad week. Bradley put Jeremy at number four. Oof. So I had Jeremy at 7.
That was 19-12.
I got the lead on Alexa and fam over there. So it's your first pick in 2 weeks here. Who you got?
Wow. Okay, so I'm going to do 1 and 2. So number one, I actually have Davey, and I am pretty surprised that I had him this high up. And this does have a lot to do with him having an idol. And he not only has an idol, but he's someone who's confident about having an idol. And he's very aware of the fact that he has an idol. I think I have Dan lower than I should with somebody who has an idol. Davey, as soon as he was a part of that blind side, he was like, all right, I got this idol. I have a little bit of backup here, but I still need to keep working. And I think he hasn't bothered people the way I expected him to. He has been a breath of fresh air. I think he can assimilate fine. I think a lot of my people up top are people who I think could assimilate with the opposite tribe very well. And I think Davey would do a great job. I think he loves playing provider. I think he can find something in common with everybody. And I think that's a really good quality to have when you're down on the numbers on your own tribe, and then you're about to be probably down on the numbers on this new swapped tribe, whether it's two tribes or three tribes or four tribes, whatever. So I have Deviant number one, and I have John at a very close number two, Johnny Mundo. It's so weird calling him John. Same thing. He's personable. People are interested in talking to him. No one's going to vote him out because he's really good in challenges. No one's afraid of him. You haven't seen him like creeping around for idols in a weird way. So I think the two of them are in a really, really great spot going into the swap.
Yeah, I have Davey at four, so I have two people ahead of Davey. But I do think that Davey is probably the most likable person on his tribe. And coming into this season, I kept on saying, Davey's in trouble. He's going to annoy people. He's going to rub people the wrong way. Even though Christian has been the narrator over there, and I don't think that there's anybody on that tribe who's unlikable, but I do think that Davey is the most likable. I think Davey can get along with anybody out there on the island. He has an idol. He looks like he's having a really fun time playing the game. I could see Christian maybe getting on people's nerves. Gabby's playing very emotional. Elizabeth could be maybe a little too in your face. Lyrsa has been, you know, she's been shown to be angry when her name comes up on the block. Maybe she starts to get a little bit of that fire as the game's going on. But I just don't see Davey ever really rubbing someone the wrong way at this point. I'm really shocked to say that because coming into the game, I was like, Davey is in a lot of trouble. He's going to piss people off. People don't really know who he is, but right now I'm liking where he's at. So I have him at four, a little bit lower than you. I do have him much higher than Dan, though. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Dan with the idol, I don't have him much higher. I have Dan at five. But Dan with the idol, that's the reason I put him at five. In my mind, though, Dan is playing a much lower game than that. Because I don't know if I trust him to make the right move. I'm curious to see what happens now that if he gets split up from Kara, if he gets split up from Natalia. I want to see Dan play the game. I want to see Dan have to do it on his own. So, but I think Davey already has been kind of on his own because he's been out there in the minority alliance in the tribe that's losing. So I think he's already felt what it's like to be on his own. Dan hasn't felt that yet. So I trust Davey a little bit more than Dan.
And I can't remember if it was Elizabeth or Gabby who said this, but the reason they chose to pick Jessica is because she was the connection to Carl, to Bea, and to Davey. So when you blow her up, Davey and Bea didn't seem to have much of a relationship. Davey and Carl kind of did, but we didn't get to see much of that after. So, I think Davey's on his own. I think Davey's going to be fine. You said Kara, which is a fantastic segue to my third person, but can we first confirm it's Kara?
I don't think
we can confirm it yet.
We still can't confirm. But it's funny that you're saying this because I never even gave you my number two. I just gave you my four and five. But I also have
still
Kara.
Be your number two.
No, don't worry about number two because I also have Kara at number three. So let's talk about Kara and then I'll tell you about my number two.
Okay, we're a hot mess. So I have Kara at number three and she's got no idol. She's kind of allied with Dan, but I am so impressed with her. She is doing great and I have her going into the swap. Same as Davey and John. She can clearly get along with everybody. She's with those girls, and the girls have no problem with her. She's with Dan. Dan has zero problems with her. And I think, again, they're in this quote-unquote showmance, but I don't want to call it that because I think Dan thinks they are, and she's like, I'm just using you. And no one is concerned about that fact at all. And no one seems to be afraid of her. She's not a liability in challenges. I think she's done perfectly well. There's really no reason to get rid of her. If anything, I would want to work with her because I think everybody wants to work with her. So I think Kara, whatever the heck it is. I think she's in a fantastic spot.
Yeah, I think out of the women on that tribe, she's in the best spot because she hasn't really gone against anybody yet. And Angelina and Natalia seem like they're still buddy-buddy, but they had to go against each other. There was like a power dynamic of who we actually going to get rid of. Natalie obviously has rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. So when I sit down and I look at Kara, she's close with Dan. She's close with Natalia. She's close with Angelina. I feel like she's probably getting along with Alec and Johnny Mundo, that means. So I feel like she has a lot of connections on that side. And I do think that if she were to go to the other side, she'd be able to make a lot of connections with them. So I like having her at three. I think she's fine. I think she's getting a really, really good edit right now. And she's not going to go home. I'd be shocked if she went home this week. I'd be really shocked. That doesn't mean that she can't end up on the wrong side of numbers once this swap hits. But to get rid of her right now, I feel like would be really, really shocking. I don't feel like she's number one on anybody's target list. And if she were to go and work with the Davids, or if she were to try to work against the Davids, I don't think the Davids are going to say, oh, she's the biggest threat. We need to get rid of Kara. I'm sure that there's somebody else that they would rather get rid of. Maybe somebody who's more vocal. Natalia is more vocal. Natalie is more vocal. There's a lot more vocal people out there. So I think Kara's fine.
The beauty of Kara is, like you just said, someone is always going to be more threatening than her. And that's kind of like the Adam Klein strategy. Adam always said, be the most average person out there. She is not average by any means, but I think on a season as extreme as this, she seems relatively average. So why would you get rid of her when you could get rid of anybody else?
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. I mean, this is a time where you could take out maybe a bigger threat, somebody who's a little bit more strategic. I don't see Kara trying to take it by the reins when she gets to this point. She didn't try to take it by the reins when she was over at Goliath Beach. She did make a lot of connections, but she wasn't trying to take over the game. And I don't see her trying to take over the game now. So I think she's fine. Mm-hmm. But
let's go back to your number two.
My number two. So now to give an order here. So I have one Mundo, three Kara, four Davey, five Dan. That's who I've talked about. But two, I have Christian. This is all based off of edit. I just don't see Christian going home yet. That would be completely shocking to me. He's getting a huge edit. This is a guy who I feel like has to go to like final seven at least. So I think that Christian is in really good shape. He's made a lot of relationships. Him and Nick successfully threw Gabby under the bus. So I think they're safe. Yeah. I think that he's completely safe. And I really like where he's sitting going into a swap. I don't think he's going to be seen as a big threat to the other side. The Goliaths aren't going to say, oh man, we got to get rid of him. And I think he's going to be able to just kind of buddy up with the Goliaths. And I think he's got a good relationship going with just about everybody on that side, on the David side. Him and Nick did a really good job of keeping all of their relationships open. So I do think that he's going to be fine. So I have him at number two. I'd be floored if he went home this week. And then, like I said, three Kara, four Davey, five Dan. And then my six is shocking, so I'll let you catch up first.
Ooh, but wait, there's more. I have Christian a little lower, but honestly, my top nine, I think, could all be one or two, but I had to put them lower. So even up to like eight or nine, I'm pretty confident with all of those people staying. I actually go with Angelina at number four, and maybe come merge time, I'll put her down at the bottom, but I think she's great. Again, she gets along with everybody. I know I'm just repeating myself here, but she's good at puzzles and no one is threatened by that. She's good at puzzles, but she doesn't brag about it. People just implicitly know that. And I think she's good at being a leader without seeming like a leader, because she very well could have bothered people by saying, it's gotta be Natalie. Everyone needs to stop talking. It's Natalie. But every single person voted with her. Mm-hmm. So again, maybe they're giving her credit when it was everybody's decision, but I think she has done a very good job at whipping votes and not making it seem like it was her idea. Because I think maybe everyone else is thinking it and she could sense that. So I think Angelina is perfectly fine. I actually go with Mike at number five. So
wow, that's high.
Pretty high. I was very wrong about how people were going to perceive Mike. I really wish Jeremy stayed because I would love more of Mike and Jeremy. I thought they were super cute together. And I think Mike didn't really want to get rid of him because I think he saw something in Jeremy, and I think the two of them could have had a really good thing, and I would have liked to see them play more together. But alas, he pissed off Natalie for being honest, and so he's gone. But anyways, I think Mike is going to be fine. Like you said, I think we were talking about this before we went live. Why do you want to get rid of Mike? He's not threatening. He's probably fine in challenges. He's got a ton of money. You'll get rid of him eventually. He'll be fine. So, and I think people like him. I think they think he's funny, and I think he's pretty funny. So I think he'll be fine.
I have both of those people lower. I have them both, not like super low, but I have them more in the middle to lower region of this. I do agree with you that Mike voted with the tribe, which was a smart move. He didn't make a stink at all. Angelina, I fear a little bit for, because hitting a swap, the person who normally does go home is the person who tries to take control and maybe is seen too threatening. And I could see Angelina coming out here. We just saw what she did last week. She was not taking no for an answer.
Yes.
And that might not work once you get into this situation. So I fear for her a little bit. Mm-hmm. Although I do think that she had a good episode last week. So my number six is Natalie. I have Natalie that high. Everybody heard it here. I have Natalie that high. I think that Natalie is fine. I think that after getting through last week's boot, knowing that there's a swap coming, if there wasn't a swap, I would have Natalie way down near the bottom again. Because if they lose, you can't get rid of somebody else who's stronger and keep around Natalie as these numbers start to even up. But I really think that right now Natalie's in a great spot, because if they swap to smaller tribes, Natalie is not threatening. She's actually probably going to find herself in a swing position. She's somebody who the Davids might be able to say, oh, we can pull her over because she felt like an outcast. Or or she really is in with the Goliaths and she just votes with them. And they use her as a Cochrane almost. In South Pacific.
I was going to use Cochrane as an example. I think she's in a very similar position.
Yeah, so I think that she's fine. I think the swap is coming at a perfect time for her. And even if the tribes are a little bit bigger, I still think Natalie is fine. I'd be really surprised to see her go home on an 8-person tribe if the division is still along Davids versus Goliaths. I think that she has the most potential of working with the Davids, which is why I think that she will stick around, because the Goliaths aren't going to get rid of her because they'll need her number, and the Davids aren't going to get rid of her because they probably see her as somebody that they could work with at some point. So I really like where Natalie's at right now. I got her at 6th place.
She's going to be the Sebastian and Chelsea of the second coming of the Malolo tribe, where they're like, you are so clearly on the bottom, and she'll either actually flip, which could have made Ghost Island a lot more exciting, or she'll stay. So I think you're right. She is in a swing position.
Yep.
I have her lower, but I totally get why you have her at number 6. For the shock value, of course, for nothing else.
Well, that's all I did it for.
Right. Just here for the memes.
Yeah.
This could have a little shock value too. I have Elizabeth at number 6. And she's another one where I was super, I don't want to say I was super wrong about her preseason, because I was really high on her preseason, but she's certainly quirky and she's certainly entertaining, but not in a way that seems to bother or even affect anybody. I don't think anyone has yet said Elizabeth is weird. And honestly, about 90% of the David content has been around that god awful Mason Dixon name. I mean, to put something, I don't like it. The Alliance is fine. It's not about the members of the Alliance, but I do not like the name. I think it's cringy. I don't like it. Nick, if you're listening.
You like that they said right down the middle last week?
Oh, God.
Amazing. Mason Dixon, right down the middle. Love it. Oh. Love it.
My eyes roll out of my face whenever they say Mason Dixon. I don't like it. But apparently it's good TV, and apparently people like it. But I have to put that on the table. That's my opinion on that. I knew there was something I was forgetting from these past two podcasts. I hate the nickname. Anyways, all of the content has gone towards them when we're on the David beach. And that makes me believe that Elizabeth has assimilated perfectly fine. She stuck her neck out for Lyrsa. And just like Angelina, no one was freaked out by her trying to save the person who presumably was going to go home. And so I think Elizabeth is going to do fine in a swap situation. I think even if she ends up with like Davey or Carl or B, they would still want to work with her. And I think if she ends up with any of these Mason Dixon people, she'll be fine. And I think the Goliath people won't be afraid of her. I don't think there's anything particularly threatening about her. So I think she's in a good spot.
Yeah, so I don't think that's that shocking. I have her 8. I actually have the second half of Mason Dixon, whether you want to call him Mason or Dixon. I have Nick at number 7. I think Nick's another one who he bonded with everybody on that tribe after that awful first episode he had. Maybe he didn't really bond too much with Carl, but the way he was talking, everybody was talking to B a lot. He was talking to Elizabeth. He was getting in with them. He successfully threw Gabby under the bus, said she was the one who wanted to make that move. He's clearly very tight with Christian. I feel like he might overplay his hand a little bit with the Goliaths, but at the same time, I think that the Goliaths might go for somebody who's a little bit weaker and seen as a strategic threat, or maybe somebody like B, who I just feel like is, you know, in trouble going into this week. But I think that Nick's okay. I think Elizabeth's fine. She had a really invisible episode last week, which I was shocked at, because we saw everybody's reaction to the big vote except for the two people who it affected the most, which I thought was really shocking.
I'm surprised we didn't talk to her at all, or Lyrsa.
Yeah, neither one of them spoke at all, which I thought was shocking, because the two of them successfully pulled in Gabby, Christian, and Nick to ensure that Jessica went home. And then we heard from every single other person on that tribe except for Elizabeth and Lyrsa. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for them going forward? So I have Elizabeth at 8. I still think she's fine. I think she's probably the strongest woman in the game just in terms of physical strength. So when you're looking at it from that perspective, you get into these smaller tribes, you won't really want to get rid of her. I also think that helps that tribe win no matter who she's paired up with on the men's side, because I don't really see any men who are super, super weak on this season. Mm-hmm. So I think that having Elizabeth as one of your females will make it a lot easier to win a challenge, or at least not finish last in a challenge if it's a 3-tribe split.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to go to your 7?
Nick was my 7.
Oh, Nick was your 7. Sorry.
Nick was 7, and then Elizabeth was 8.
So I'm glad you brought up that. I thought that was interesting that we didn't talk to Elizabeth or Lyrsa, but we did talk to Nick as soon as the vote was over, which is part of my reasoning for why Nick is so low on my rankings. And it has nothing to do with my personal distaste for his Alliance name. I will try to put that past. But I'm going to go. I'll catch up to you. I go with Christian at number 7. And I think it's a bit edit oriented, but he's another one where coming into it, I think we both thought that he could possibly stick out, but I think people really like him. And I don't think people think he's weird or nerdy to an extent where they don't want to hang out with him. And I think, like, you put him on a tribe with John, they'll love each other. They would have so much fun together.
Like it's like a Ty and Caleb type situation.
Yeah, honestly. Exactly. They'd be perfect together. So I would love to see them together. It sounds like we're going to. So again, 7 is pretty low considering that there's 17 people left. But again, my top half, I'm very comfortable with their standing. And then for number 8, this was where I started getting a little sketchy. I have Dan at number 8. And 8 either feels high or low, which I guess is why he's smack dab in the middle. I don't think he's going to go because I think there's still a lot more fun to be had with him. I think they're building him up to be either have this redemption of becoming a good player, or they're building him up to just be even more ridiculous and for him to get completely played by Kara. And I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we've had enough buildup yet. So I don't think there's a reason for Dan to go home. And he's really good in challenges. So why would you get rid of him right now?
I just can't help it every time you say Flay. So now it's Kara Bolton. Is that what we're just going to start calling her? Because now Flay? I just think of Game of Thrones and I just imagine her flaying people, literally.
Wait, so did I just say the word Flay?
Did you not say flayed?
No. That's so aggressive. Who's flaying who?
I know. I thought you just said Kara. You said played, but when it came through on mine, it sounded like you said Kara. He's getting flayed by Kara. And I was like, wow.
Kara is absolutely going to destroy him.
I'm just like imagining Ramsay Bolton over here just like flaying Dan, poor guy. My God.
It's going to be Kara's final tribal council speech. She's going to take him off the jury and just flay him in front of everybody.
Oh my God. I'm just sitting here and I'm saying to myself, like, that's the beauty of having this internet, though, is that sometimes it cuts out and I hear flayed when she says played.
Wow.
So that's beautiful. Anyway, what an image. So my number 9, this is totally based off of edit. And yes, they talked a little bit last week. She didn't have a great episode last week because they talked about how it was her fault. And she's been crying a lot and she's not having a great episode. But I still love where Gabby's at. I think she's right in there with Christian. I think that she can go over to the Goliaths and fit in with the Goliaths. I think that she did a really good job of fitting in on the David tribe. And that's actually why the people were so hurt by her. I could see some of those Davids trying to pin it on her. But at the same time, you might say to yourself as the Goliath tribe, if you end up with like this mixed match or this mix of Goliaths and Davids and you can get the numbers and you have 3 people saying, "Ooh, we want to get rid of Gabby," they might just turn around and say, "Well, hey, let's get rid of the 3 of them because they're clearly tight and they might try to work together once you get to another spot." So I do think that Gabby had a little bit of a down episode last week compared to where she was. But with all the crying she's doing, I'm just sitting here waiting for her to go to the final tribal council. So I think that she's fine. I think that her edit is fine. And I think that with a swap, a lot of that goes out the window. You got to see them win and there's a swap. So I like her positioning right now moving forward. Got her at number 9 and she's still my winner pick. So
I also have her at number 9, but unfortunately in more of a fearful for her kind of way. I think if this is a tribe of 3, if it's 3 tribes of 5, 5, 6.
A tribe of 3.
that would be a fun social experiment.
We're going back to Palau now.
3 tribes of 5, I think, and if it's like 3 Davids and 2 Goliaths, which is probably not particularly likely, I think some of the Davids are either put off or were rubbed the wrong way, I think incorrectly. For whatever reason, we're perfectly fine throwing her under the bus. I think the Goliaths are going to sense that and they'll say, well, why don't we just get rid of her? And I think they'll be fine getting rid of her. I think edit-wise, she's probably okay, but I am fairly nervous for her. The crying doesn't like particularly bother me. I don't think she's
going to quit.
I don't think she's going to quit. Like that has the crying has no effect on me. It's more what other people are saying about her that makes me very nervous.
My whole thing is if she ends up with just Nick, she could be in trouble. But if she ends up with Christian and then any other David, she's going to be fine. Right. But if she ends up with any Davids and not Nick or Christian, I think she'll be fine. But if she ends up with just Nick and other Davids, she's going to be in trouble because Nick seems like him and Christian aren't on the same page. And this goes back to I am totally 100% in belief that Christian and Gabby are the two who are running that tribe and we're ready to go. They think it's Mason Dixon. It's not Mason Dixon. It's Christian Gabby, whatever you want to call that alliance. We got to come up with like a female name in there. But whatever it is, I think that the two of them are the strongest. And Nick is over there talking about, oh, that was exactly what we wanted. Now I'll just throw Gabby under the bus. I'm ready to get rid of her. Christian was never going to vote out Gabby. There was no way he was ever going to vote out Gabby. Now, maybe Elizabeth and Lyrsa would have said, okay, we'll vote out Gabby, or maybe it would have ended up being like a 4-4 split. But there was no way that Christian was going to vote out Gabby. Nick was a little delusional there. Now, I hope that Christian told Nick, hey, we're not voting out Gabby. But if he didn't get a chance to say that, because he didn't even know that Nick was thinking that strongly about it, then I think that Gabby could be in a little bit of trouble. But until I see that, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to say Gabby's fine. Putting her right in the middle, though, because she's had such a good first couple episodes, and I think that she's going to be fine after this swap. I still think that she's somebody who could absolutely end up winning if she needed to.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But I'm just thinking next episode ahead. I think if she's not with Christian, which is likely in the grand scheme of like math, which I'm not very good at, then I think she's in a little bit of trouble. So that's why I'm fearful for her. But with you bring up a good point with Christian. I think he is really tight with Gabby, and I think he threw her under the bus because Nick started throwing her under the bus. But I do look forward to seeing when Nick is kind of pulled in those two directions, which one he will choose.
I think he's going to pick Gabby. I mean, I really do, because I'm watching this. As I'm watching this, we never saw Christian approaching other people about getting rid of Gabby. We saw Nick doing it. And we've seen so many little moments of Nick and Christian and Gabby, and Gabby talking about how much she loves Christian and how they're cut from the same cloth and all this, blah, 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 blah. We keep seeing so many of those scenes. It's the two that they bonded on day one. They bonded before Christian and Nick did. And that's going to last longer. Christian wasn't actively trying to get Gabby out. What I think would have ended up happening is, had they gone to another tribal, I think B would have ended up going home. I think it would have been a 5-3 vote because Nick might have said to Christian, hey, let's get rid of Gabby. They would have been back in that middle spot. And Christian would have said to him, no, I don't want to get rid of Gabby. Let's get rid of B. She just hurt her knee. And let's just keep getting rid of that side. We have a strong five right now. Because I really do think that Lyrsa and Elizabeth and the other three were solid. So I think that would have ended up prevailing.
Yeah, I think Lyrsa and Elizabeth will be fine. Or were fine. Now we'll see what happens. Do you want to go to your number 10?
I'll do 10 and 11 because you've already talked about them. I have 10, I have Mike. Kind of talked about him already. 11, I have Angelina. I just think because Angelina wants to be in control so bad, and this isn't just her playing the game wanting to be in control. She wants to be in control of her entire life. I mean, here's the president of the student body at Stanford and blah, blah, all these great things about Angelina. I've been now saying blah, blah all the time, but I just need to get this out there.
That's your new film.
All these great things about Angelina, it all is holding true to the character she's playing on Survivor. And that can be really hard once you get to a swap. We saw it happen with Tyrone all the way back in Nicaragua. Wow. You try to take too much control sometimes. He's the one who always sticks out to me. If you try to take too much control, people see you as being too threatening. And then they say, we don't want to work with you because you're eventually just going to blow this whole game up on us. And last week we saw she wanted that person out. Whatever the reason she actually wanted Jeremy out was, I don't care what it was, but she wanted him out, she fought for it, and she got what she wanted. And I feel like that little bit of power could go to somebody's head and can make them really, really oblivious hitting a swap. Now, I'm not saying Angelina is oblivious. I'm just saying it could happen, which is why I have her all the way down to number 11.
So I agree with most of that. I just don't think that's going to be the case for every single vote. If she is that strong-willed for every single vote, then I would have her much lower. I just don't imagine that being the case. So that, but I get what you're saying, because she seems like someone who, when she wants it, she works for it and it happens. And Survivor is a scary place for that to happen.
Yes, it's so scary, especially a small tribe in Survivor.
Yes. So my number 10 is where I start to get a little weird. I have Alec at number 10. I'm really liking him. I think he's been very fun. They are giving him a lot, but so far, I mean, I and everybody else is like, they're going to destroy him. But if he doesn't have any bad content, then you're just going to make him a little more quiet than he could be. I think people really like him. I think there's no reason not to like him. He's not threatening. We haven't been shown an ounce of strategy from him, which right now is a good thing.
I disagree with that, though. I think that they showed maybe not a confessional from him. He didn't have necessarily a confessional about it, but I do think that when Angelina was making that pitch, him and Natalia were both very adamant, and we had a lot from Alec there where he was saying,
yes, he
once we hit
that,
a swap,
right.
You know, he was pushing back and he was talking about how Natalie will flip on them. So I do think we got a little bit of strategy. We're just not seeing a confessional from him.
Right. We're just seeing a lot of like goofy smiles, which is fine. So yeah, you bring up a good point. I did miss that. But I don't think people are going to look at him as some strategic mastermind. And even more so, I don't think he is going to be the one to spearhead a vote. So he's not scary right now. I think right now he's just here to hang out, or he looks like he's just here to hang out. And I think that bodes well for him. And maybe they're going to absolutely eviscerate him, but I don't know. I don't see that happening this episode.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I actually have him at 12. I think that he's like fine. Like, it's weird. I'm waiting for him to either quit or blow up or just get blindsided. I feel like he's going to get blindsided, and that's probably why he ended up doing what he did once the game ended. So I feel like that's what I'm waiting for to happen. I feel like it's going to come. I just don't know if it's going to happen yet. Like you said, he's just not that threatening. He's not going to try to spearhead anything.
He's
we haven't
fine.
Seen that from him. So he seems like he actually seems like a likable guy. It's a shame that whatever
like
happened,
likes
happened.
Him.
Yeah, it's a shame whatever happens, happens. But I like him. So we'll see what ends up happening moving forward. But I have him at 12. I think that he's okay. And you know, the five that I have at my bottom five, those are really the five that I think could be in a lot of trouble.
Do you want to catch up to your 12?
No, I did, because Angelina was my 11. So,
I'll catch up.
So you're behind me, yeah.
So this is where I don't really have a reasoning for why this person is number 11. I have Allison, and we are getting nada from her. And I feel like she's going to get the Simone thing where there's nothing, and then all of a sudden we get her, and then she's gone. But for someone who was fairly visible in the premiere and clearly has, like, a good TV personality, and not the craziest TV personality, but a good TV personality, or at least some kind of narrating personality, we are getting nothing from her, which makes me really nervous. And I think she's either going to be in the majority, and then someone wants to do something fun and crazy, and Goliath wants to get rid of one of their own, and I feel like she's going to be the result of that. Or she seems similar to Angelina, in that when she wants something, she works for it and she gets it. She could be the one where she spearheads something and everyone's like, whoa, 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 but what about my decision? And then they get rid of it.
Yeah, I fear a lot for Allison, and so I'm just going to keep being one ahead of you, but whatever. I have Allison at 13. I'm scared for Allison this week because she almost feels like a perfect swap boot. We saw it happen with Rourke back in Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. She was really quiet, goes home once they swap. I feel like that could be Allison because Rourke was also a person who isn't like a bad TV personality. Like, she was playing the game. She had strategy going. She was bonding with people, but we didn't really see any of it. So now I look at Allison and I ask myself, why haven't we seen more of her? Maybe that's why. We also saw her completely underestimate why people were Davids at the beginning. Maybe that resonates with some of the Davids. She just seems like one of the prime targets normally once you actually hit a swap, because she's stronger, but she's not the strongest. She's strategic, but she's not the most strategic. I feel like that could be really detrimental, especially on a small tribe, if the other side has the numbers. Let's say it's just her and Johnny Mundo from Goliath, and we end up on a tribe of five, and the other three are Davids. Who are they going to gun for? They're going to gun for Allison. And I can really pair that up with just about anybody on Goliath, that if she ended up in just a pair with them, she would be the one who went home, but not the other person. So that's why I fear for Allison, and because of how quiet she's been. So that's why I have her down at number 13.
Yeah, I'll catch up to 13 with you. I have Natalia at number 12. And I think she is probably what we've been saying about Allison or Angelina, but she's probably the most likely person to have that kind of personality. And I think it's worked out really well for her because I think she's been with groups of people who are very similar to her. But I think if you put her with Elizabeth, Elizabeth is not going to be able to stand her. Put her with Carl, and Carl won't be able to stand her.
Yep.
So that makes me pretty nervous for her. And then I have B down at 13, and I don't really know why, because, again, I think she had a good episode. I think people are liking her. But I think the knee thing doesn't really help. And I have written down, she doesn't have any real allies. There's no one – like, yeah, she and Nick were chatting a little bit, but I don't trust Nick. I have Nick lower than her. So there's no one – who I see really going to bat for her, and you need that in a swap situation.
Yeah, it looked like her and Alec were buddying up, but I have her at 15. I think that she's in the most trouble out of all the Goliaths because strong personality.
David's.
What's up?
David's.
No, Natalia's on the Goliaths.
Oh, I'm talking about B.
Oh, you're talking about B? I thought you were just – didn't you say Natalia?
I did say Natalia, and then I moved on to B, who's 13.
Oh, that's my bad. Totally missed you say B. I thought you were talking about Natalia.
No.
Oh, well, I have B at last. So, wow. What, I don't know what just happened there because you were talking fluently, but I did not hear you say B. Anyway, that's weird. Okay. So
you're doing great.
Why did you? Okay, so I thought that was all Natalia. So why did you? What's your whole thing with B? Hang on. Let's hear this all over again.
No, I can keep this nice and quick. B doesn't really have a best friend. Natalia, yeah. I think, has a couple best friends. And yeah. I think although Natalia could rub some people the wrong way, I don't think B would rub anyone the wrong way. I think people really like her, and I think she's been interesting. But in a swap situation, you need a best friend. You need someone who's going to go to bat for you when your name comes up. And I don't – like, is Carl going to do that?
Yeah.
I don't think so. So that's what makes me nervous for her. And the knee thing doesn't help.
Yeah, that's why I have her at 17. I mean, I'll just kill my rankings, Alexa, because now I've given away so much, whatever. But I have B all the way down at 17 because I think that with the knee and the way they showed it, the fact that they showed the knee after they won the challenge and went back to the David camp, I think that's kind of telling. Like, that's really weird. They never do that. So that kind of worries me. And I just don't think that she has a right-hand person. And we got a lot of content from her last week, maybe because she does get pulled or something happens that's kind of out of her control. Maybe they wanted to give her some screen time before she went home. And, you know, before that, I have Carl at 14, Natalia at 15, Lyrsa at 16. So I think that Carl, he doesn't have any, like, really close ally, but I also think that once that also makes him kind of a little bit more appealing once he gets a swap, because he also doesn't have any real enemy. Nobody really dislikes Carl. He's just vocal. So I think that Carl could go home, but I think he's okay. Natalia is the one who I think is in the most trouble from the Goliaths. That's what I thought we were talking about. So I think she's in the most trouble there because she has a couple people, but she's so loud with it all. She's very, like, we saw so many little things in that first episode where when Natalie's not doing anything, she's getting angry. And if you get angry on a small tribe, that's not going to work. And I don't know. I just think that she could be in trouble here. She's very, very vocal. And she's very vocal about who she doesn't like or anything like that. So I don't know. I think she could be in trouble. And then Lyrsa, I have at 16 just because, look, she kept on defending herself saying, there's other people weaker than me. There's other people weaker than me. And we didn't ever talk about this because I haven't talked to you since. But she couldn't name somebody who actually is weaker than her, which worries me because now you're hitting a smaller tribe where they might say, okay, let's get rid of her because maybe she's going to be a strategic threat or maybe she could win the game because of whatever story she's going to tell. So I think she is clearly the weakest one out there, and her not being able to really point to somebody and say they're weaker than me, I think is going to hurt her.
Well, I think there are people. I don't know why she didn't name other. I don't know why she didn't name anybody, but I think B's performances and challenges at that point made it look like B was weaker than her. I think she is as good, if not, like, what's the difference between Lyrsa and Gabby in a challenge?
Gabby's probably better at puzzles.
But at puzzles. Yeah.
So, but so much of the challenge is puzzles now.
Right, but they're not putting Lyrsa on the puzzles. So that I was fine with because I think people were really just looking at Lyrsa, and quite honestly, the way that people look at, kind of like what Vaughn said with, like with B, people look at, the Asian women do not do well on Survivor, and that's not necessarily their fault, but people just perceive them as weak. People are going to look at Lyrsa and perceive her as weak, and maybe she is, but at the same time, people are talking about her like she is a wild liability. And she made a good point. She won the first challenge. So
she did.
No one can fight her on that. So I was fine with that. And I think it helped that she had Elizabeth whispering in everybody's ears instead of just her saying, like, no, I'm right, I'm right. But yeah, I mean, I have Lyrsa pretty low down too. I go with Natalie at 14. I'll kill mine. I go with Natalie at 14. I think you're right. I don't think she's going to go home. I think there's a lot more with her. But I think at the same time, she hasn't pissed anybody off less. Mm-hmm. So people could still really be bothered by her. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if she went home. So I have her low. And then I go Nick. Nick is he's a shit stirrer. And I like him and I like watching him. But I think he's someone who wants to do stuff. And on a small tribe when he's probably going to be in some form of minority, I don't think Goliaths are going to like that. And I think he's very quick to throw people under the bus. And I think he's going to look like that person. He's playing the Sandra game of as long as it's not me, except to a very extreme degree.
Yeah.
And I think that is going to bite him in the butt eventually. And I think being in a small tribe, that just makes me really scared for him. Mm-hmm. So what was that, 15? And then I go Lyrsa at 16. I think if she's not with Elizabeth, I think she needs Elizabeth to be with her. Because I don't know what other super tight friend she has. And clearly people are going to just make assumptions about her, whether or not they're true. And then I go with Carl at 17. I am super nervous for Carl. All of his content has been, I'm, you know, like, I'm scared, I'm upset. All of his private confessionals, or all of his confessionals that I'm seeing online, he's upset. It's raining, and I think he could quit. So
yeah, I could see that.
I am like super nervous about that.
I think he's such a big fan that he won't quit.
Right.
But I could see him almost begging to be voted out at some point because he's just worn down by it. But then again, a swap could be all he needs to get back on the right track.
It could be, and I hope so. So yeah, that's where we are.
That's it. Well, I'm going to jump over to a couple of comments real quick where we have Isaacs, who says intern held his own with against Philustrious Phil. Good to have Alexa back. Maybe bring intern back as a triple split screen.
Oh, God.
So at least that's a good positive. I would read that whole boom comment, but that was just so ridiculous. It was hilarious. You didn't see that one where they talked about the intern, the first podcast ever from the room.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was weird.
That was so bizarre. See, we might not talk about all the comments and questions on these podcasts anymore, but we are definitely reading them.
We're aware of them.
You guys are coming up with some stuff here. We do have Gamer Girl who says, what does everyone have against Gabby now? Yes, she was thrown into the bus last episode, but that doesn't mean she was the worst part of that episode. Alexa, how do you feel about Gabby? You didn't really talk about your opinion, just your just feelings on Gabby as a whole.
I think people really want to not like her. And she is becoming the Ryan and the Chrissy and the people who everyone was so high on at the beginning and then cries because she's playing a mentally and physically taxing game where it hasn't stopped raining and everyone hates her. So I just want people to know when I get on Survivor and start crying, I don't care if you hate me because I'm going to cry. It's a shitty game. It really sucks. And so
I like that nobody gives Carl a hard time for crying, but everybody gives Gabby a hard time.
That's a double standard that I don't like. But it's still not okay. I mean, like, these people are crying because the game is really hard and because they keep losing. And the first time they walked on the beach, they watched someone break their back. This is not easy.
And I will say that once Gabby hits the Lisa Welchel levels, then I'll finally start to be annoyed. But right now, I'm fine with it. It doesn't bother me at all.
See, even Lisa, I am like one to defend Lisa because Lisa and Don, I get why people don't like them.
Don didn't bother me. Lisa bothered me. Lisa was too much in a season that just annoyed the crap. Like, she
I don't think it helped that she was on like a – no, she was on a great season.
She was on a great season, but what I'm saying is like it was a season where nobody else was really that emotional, and I almost felt like the only reason they gave Lisa so much screen time was because she kept crying, and I feel like there was so much more to Lisa's character other than her crying, but they just kept showing her crying because nobody else would cry. Denise only cried once. Malcolm wasn't crying. Scoopin wasn't crying. Penner wasn't crying. Carter wasn't speaking. Kent wasn't crying.
Carter was dead.
You know what I mean? Like, Artist wasn't even there. RC wasn't crying. Nobody was emotional on that season. It was very like, we're here to play the game kind of season, which is a great season. But you know what I mean? So they just kept showing Lisa doing that. So until Gabby hits that level, I'm a huge Gabby defender right now. I got her winning this thing, so she better win this thing.
I mean, I get the whining, and I hate using the word whining because that it has such a negative connotation, but like, I get where people are coming from with that. And I didn't love that, but again, I can't, it's like one thing. So, and I think people don't like it because she's still getting her way and she's finding negativity. But I think Gabby's like, if you look at her Instagram and you look at what Gabby posts, she's very self-aware and she's all about positivity and she's all about like finding your self-confidence. And I think this island really strips you down. And I think she's going through that right now. That doesn't bother me because I find I'm watching Gabby and I'm seeing something that I could very easily go through as well. So I think she's fine. Again, like if people want to be annoyed with her, I get it. But I don't have a personal issue with her. You know, it doesn't affect me.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel too. Yeah. We have Giovanni asks, is this season's Dan in the running for Best Survivor Dan? No, absolutely not.
It's nobody Dan Barry.
Nobody will ever be in the running for Best Survivor Dan. Like, don't even ask that question. That's like somebody else named Colby playing Survivor. Obviously, they're not going to be the best Colby. That's like another person named Tom Brady playing quarterback in the NFL. Obviously, he's not going to be in running for that. Dan Barry is the only Survivor Dan. Apologies to any other Dan out there, but Dan Barry is the only one.
He's the only one.
I don't even want to hear it.
This guy's not even an astronaut.
This guy's not even an astronaut.
How lame is that?
Yeah, he's a SWAT cop? Like, come on.
What a loser.
Go to space in your little SWAT car. That's what I want to say. So once he does that and gets a standing ovation on his way out and blows a six-piece puzzle, then we'll start talking, okay? But until then, Dan Fuego is the only survivor, Dan. I mean, Dan, I don't know what his actual last name is, but Dan from this season needs to come up with a different name for himself.
Rendering?
I don't know how to say it, but he needs to come up with a different name for himself so that he can be the best of that name, because he will never be the best survivor, Dan. He could win this game. Hands down, he will not be the best survivor.
I also want to put it out there. Everything we just said about him being a cop being lame was sarcasm. I can already see the tweets coming in like, oh my God, you guys think he's lame because he's a cop.
You guys hate cops. You hate cops.
No, we just love astronauts.
That's the thing. Exactly. Except astronauts are cooler than cops, okay? God.
There's our hashtag.
Yeah, who didn't go see First Man, right? Like, that's – as soon as I heard about those, like, wow.
Did that come out?
Yeah, it did. But they should make a movie called First Dan, and it should be about Dan going into space. That's what I want.
First Cop,
yeah. No, I mean Dan Barry. I want a movie about Dan Barry going
first
to space.
First Dan.
That's all I want. First Dan.
Oh, my God.
And then Giovanni
Oriana. I can make
Oriana.
A movie poster. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Giovanni Oriana. Here's the last question we're going to do. Would you accept the nickname from John or Philip? The thing is, John's not giving out the nicknames, but I would love to see what my wrestling nickname would be to him, because I want to know, like, which president of Tushy I would be. You know, like, I want to know which one it would be, which one would rhyme, where it would go from there. But we are the specialists, so we have to say Philip. Like, he is our like, I don't know.
Oh, as somebody who absolutely abhors Philip, yeah. I have no tolerance for him. I would rather John give me a nickname. I
really?
I hate. I cannot watch it.
But we're named after Philip Shepherd. We're named after him. He is our, like, we pretty much are the church of Philip Shepherd.
Is that why you did this?
Somebody came up with the name, and the specialists is Philip Shepherd.
Wait, you guys?
He was the specialist.
That's why we're the survivor specialists?
You didn't know that?
I think I need to quit.
You didn't know that. Wow. Yeah, so what's his name? I forget his name. Jimmy O'Connor, one of our longtime listeners, we said, give us a name. We need a name. And he said Survivor Specialist. And it's a great name, because that Specialist Alliance is the best one.
But he didn't explicitly say because of Philip.
No, but it's implied.
No, I will take the implication.
No.
I will quit on the spot.
Goodbye, Alexa.
I am done. We finally got rid of her. Doing quote-unquote baseball things for the past couple weeks.
We finally got rid of Alexa. You did it.
You got Will back.
Congratulations. Will, wow. Will now has to come back. He can't speak on the podcast, but anybody who just wants to look at him can look at him. But yeah.
Nobody wants that. Wow, I am shaken to my core.
Yeah, well, Alexa, now that happened, why don't you just take us home so that you can go, like, cry?
I need to go shower.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to clean this dirty conversation off of me. Well, Phil, you did a great job taking us home the past couple weeks. But
sure.
I know you did wonderfully. So we will be back Wednesday night after the East Coast episodes. We'll be on at 9 p.m. Eastern with probably me. I'm pretty sure it's going to be me, so I'm comfortable saying that. So make sure you tune into that. In the meantime, make sure to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, hit subscribe on YouTube. We are almost at 3,800 subscribers, which is like a month ago, we were at 36. So we are flying up there. Keep it and subscribe. We have some really exciting stuff coming up over the course of the season. And we think you guys are really going to like it. So stay tuned, and we'll be back on Wednesday.
Bye.